simple lack of thought going into it, perhaps not realizing how important it is. And quite honestly, people fall down the trap of thinking, well, I have such a good idea or such a good product or such a good invention, that should be enough in itself.
Right.
You should be able to see through things like that and not worry about it. But unfortunately, it's like going to the bank manager wearing your gardening clothes or wearing your worst possible clothes. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You'd wear decent clothes so that he thinks that you are a respectable person that can look after the money.
That's right. That's your first impression, and it's sloppy, and there's no excuse for it. Okay, that's half of those 95. Now, what about the other half?
Let's say half of the other half, 25%, have not followed the structure of information in there that is needed for a business plan to be understood or to make it interesting to the reader. They haven't got what the opportunity is in a succinct way. They haven't got what the exit strategy is at the bottom. They haven't said what the revenue flow is going to be. They haven't got the detail in there that is needed. Even if it's, in theory, a good opportunity, they haven't got the detail in there that makes the plan complete. And unfortunately, with so little time and so many plans, you won't get a business angel ring them up and saying, could you tell me a little bit more about this because you didn't include it. They will just put that on the pile and go on to the next plan.
Okay.
Now, sometimes we are company partners. When we get those, we can actually spot that there is a good idea there or a good opportunity, and they have just missed out some vital parts. And we can get in touch with them, and we can say, why don't you give us those good parts?
Okay.
That does work.
All right. Now, how about the other 25%?
The other remaining part are just plans that will never work because they have been written with the wrong assumptions, or it's already been done and this person doesn't realize it, or they just are very naive thoughts.
Right.
And they will just never work. So 25% of that 100 would never work under any circumstances.
Just poor ideas.
Just poor ideas. There's nothing there that will make it a viable business.
Well, very good. At least 50% of those, there is some hope for those just based on the aesthetics and the look of the business plan, and it would be a shame to let funding go by the wayside because of something so simple to correct.
That's right, and the other thing that's missing out of those, normally, is the marketing or the selling or the implementation of it. Having a great idea is not enough. It's how you implement that great idea that makes all the difference. And that's obviously coming back to what you yourself do, Michael, a lot, which is getting people to understand the sales and the marketing aspects. That section, sales and marketing, is a section that is most poorly done.
Right. That's true. What are business angels looking for in a business?
They're looking for something that is going to grow at a much faster rate by them putting money in than if it was just to be left by itself. They're looking for good incremental growth from their money. They're looking for a management team, most importantly, that they can have confidence in. If it's a great idea but a poor management team, you know they will not invest in it. It has to be a good management team, and if necessary, you have to pull in the people to make up the deficit that's there. You're never going to get anywhere if you've never done it before. No one will invest in you if you've never run a restaurant but you want to open a restaurant. No one will invest in you if you want to run a hotel, but you've never run a hotel in your life, and you haven't got a partner that has run a hotel. You have to have some experience there as well.
So having the management team and the description of the management team is part of the business plan, is that correct?
Absolutely part of the business plan, and again, a synopsis of that should be in the executive summary as well.
So how much detail should you go into the actual management team for the potential investor in the actual business plan?
Well, in the business plan itself, you can, in the appendices at the back, include CVs.
What's a CV?
But in the body of the plan, you would have a paragraph explaining the relevance of that management team member to the business. So if, for instance, it is starting up a chain of garages, you would have the founder has spent 20 years running a garage in Detroit, and the partner of that founder has set up two other businesses that have been successful in changing exhaust. Something that is relevant to the plan. It doesn't need to be extensive, doesn't need to be a lot of detail, but something that when you read it, you think, yeah, these guys know what they're doing, they could do it.
How does business angels and what you do different from here in the United States? You have business brokers. Do you have brokers there in the UK?
I think we would call them business angel networks. where they act like brokers or intermediaries in getting the business angels themselves in touch with the opportunity.
So here in the U.S., a broker has to go through a licensing process similar to a real estate agent. Is it different there in the U.K.?
It can be. There's two types of brokers, if you like, or intermediaries. Those that are more accountancy-based. They normally come from accountant organizations, and they would be governed by the Financial Services Association. And there's those that come from a more business background, and generally they would not be governed by a financial organization and wouldn't have any rules of conduct like that, but they would be more trusted advisors and consultants. So it isn't quite the same regime, I think, not the same regulations as in the U.S.
Okay, so are you only operating there in the UK, or are you operating internationally?
Well, at the moment, the investors we've got are mainly in the UK, and so they like to have UK investment. You know, they want to be close to where they put their funds so that they can go along and visit it and meet the people.
And that's critical.
I think that's fairly important, and probably in the States as well, you would look for local business angels rather than someone the other side of the country, because why would they invest in a place in San Diego if they're across in Florida? There's plenty of opportunities probably in Florida, which is closer for them to visit, and vice versa.
Can you give me an estimate of how many dollars or how many pounds they have to invest in businesses in the area?
Well, within company partners themselves, the investors we have there have probably in the range of £20 million to invest. But each individual investor does range from somewhere around about 50,000 up to 150,000, 250,000, of that order. You won't get individuals that have, say, 700 or £1 million to invest. They just don't do that. If they did have that much money, they would want to split it across more businesses.
Right. Do you know of angel investors who are investing in multiple businesses and having some involvement in several businesses rather than one as a way to earn income and stay interested in different business matters?
I would say most of them.
Most of them are not only looking for one business, they're looking for opportunities in multiple, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, most of them would do that. The very small amounts, even smaller than 50K, maybe 20 to 30K, would be invested by an individual with just that amount to spend.
Mm-hmm.
But above that, you generally find most of the business angels are spreading their risk, spreading their interest. They're doing it in an area that they understand and they know, but certainly not just once, but many times.
Have you ever seen a business that's listed with you who needs growth and had an angel who provided just his marketing or whatever his expertise was within the industry without money, but for shares of the company without actually money changing hands?
Yes, that's been done. We've got a separate part of the website at companypartners.com, which actually is there specifically to bring people together with certain expertise or knowledge or to create management teams where no money is exchanging hand, but people are going into a business sometimes in exchange for shares, sometimes for a share of profits when the business is a success, to bring their expertise into it, but they're not actually putting any funding in. They're just bringing their expertise into the business.
I see. Well, let's talk a little bit about company partners and some of the services you provide and what it's going to cost someone. Let's say that I am a business owner and I'm looking for growth and I want to potentially exploit your angel investors. What do I do first? How much is it going to cost me and what's it going to get me?
If you go to the website, www.companypartners.com, all one word, company partners, what you'll find is that there's four main sections to that. One is the area where, as I mentioned just now, you can find business partners. Another area is finding investors. Another area is for those investors who have money looking to invest. And there is a fourth area where you can get professional advice, like we talked about on the business plans, directly from company partners. The way it works is that you register first of all, and that's free. You can put your profile on that website, again for free, and that's there for everyone to find. There's a search engine there, and depending on various keywords, people can find your opportunity, or if you're an investor, they can find you because you're interested in certain areas.
So whether I'm an investor or or a business with an idea, I can register free.
That's right.
Okay.
Register for free, you put your profile up. Now, where we make our money, because we have to earn some money, otherwise the website just wouldn't exist, is that at the point when you have found someone and you want to contact them, then we say, yes, would you mind joining as a full member, please?
Okay.
And that is quite a small amount in terms of a business. It, in UK terms, £9.80 a month.
And how much is that in US dollars?
I guess it's something like $17 a month.
$17 a month, that's it?
1/7.
Wow.
So it is an incredibly cheap way, for instance, of finding funding. Otherwise, you're talking about many thousands of dollars to find funding. The downside, of course, is that it is quite variable, just like a real dating site. You get people going in, you get people coming out, and so it's quite variable. And so you may have to be there for a while. Well, I have to be honest, you may never get anyone who's interested in funding you.
Okay.
So the alternative to that is to contact us, and there's a way of contacting us on the website, and sending us your business plan, and we will do it more personally. We will try and find a business angel for you, or we'll try and find an opportunity if you are a business angel, but then the fees do become larger because we start charging the 5% of the money raised just like everyone else does.
What's the ratio for businesses listed and angels listed?
We haven't actually checked all of that out because it's growing all the time. But I would guess that in terms of businesses and opportunities listed there, it's probably around about 80% businesses and 20% people looking at it for opportunities.
Okay.
But remembering that these people are looking for multiple opportunities, and I'm pretty convinced if a good opportunity goes on there, it gets a lot of attention. What does happen is that those that aren't good just never hear anything, and those that are good get loads of attention.
If I have an opportunity and I go in and sign up, what kind of information do I get to submit when I sign up?
Well, you get to put in your own background of what it is that you are looking for in terms of an opportunity if you're an investor.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are a business, you can put in why it is that you are looking for funding. It gives you a chance to do that. It's free text.
Mm-hmm.
Just type it in as you would in a Word document.
Okay.
And there's also some opportunities to put in market sectors that you are interested in. There's some keywords. It all helps the search engine to identify you and to find things if you're searching.
Okay.
But a lot of it is just free text that you can put in and describe the opportunity or the investment that you're looking for.
Okay, very good. Let's say that I want to contact you. I'm not getting any action on the site, and I want a more personal involvement with you. You have contacts that aren't on the site, and you're able to help me raise, let's say you help me raise $500,000. I'm going to pay you a 5% fee on whatever you raise, just like a venture capitalist.
We are actually more flexible than most on that because we are willing to discuss having shares in the company for the service that we do instead of cash. Because we're there for the long term and we're looking further ahead, and I think we can be more flexible than most.
Okay, so paying a 5% fee and you being more flexible, but is that standard when you're raising money for capital? Obviously, the person who raises it should be compensated for finding the money. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and that is absolutely standard. Having said that, it can vary. You may find some places that will do it for 4%. Some may charge 6%. But 5% is an average for doing that, and I don't think that's unreasonable.
All right, what other fees, if I want that personal involvement from your consulting side, am I going to pay? Let's say you want to rework and redevelop my business plan. That's going to have to come first before you raise my money, right?
That's right. We tend to do that in quite a simple way. We don't write the plan for you, and there is a danger that there are services out there that say they will write the plan for you, and no one should do that. It should be your plan written by you.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we take your plan and we examine it and we suggest things, and it's a process of iteration. We send those back to you, you do some alterations, send it to us. That can happen quite quickly nowadays with emails exchanged.
Sure.
And we do that in terms of an iteration. And because it's being done by email, it's actually very cost effective to do that. And we can do all of that for maybe... We have a standard package, which is £90 in dollars, I guess, $150.
Okay.
It can be anything in terms of our involvement, how much involvement you want. We take telephone calls every day from people for nothing, just with ideas that they have, and we give them some advice with the idea that it is all marketing for us and that help and advice to them, and we'll do that for nothing.
You know what? I have to say that's extremely fair and reasonable, because there are companies here in the U.S. that charge $5,000 and $10,000 just to do business plans.
Yeah, I know. And it's often not needed, because, as I say, most people are not going to read beyond that executive summary. So spending $5,000 on getting a 50-page plan is really just padding. It's not necessary.
Okay, so business plan has to be in shape, executive summary critical, before you start trying to raise capital. And let's say you raise the capital for me, you raise $500,000 for me, I'm going to pay you 5%. At what point? Once I have the money, or how does that work?
No, once you have the money, once the money is in your bank, what happens, because remember that the way it's done is that if you're raising 500K, what will actually be raised is 500K plus 5%.
Right.
And so just as the 500K goes into your bank, the 5% comes across to the intermediary.
And it happens like in the closing?
Yes.
Okay.
At the same time.
All right. But before that, documentation and the agreements and the contracts between the funder and the fundee have to be all taken care of, correct?
Yes, yes.
Can you assist in providing maybe an accountant to help ride along with the deal until it closes and have maybe his fee come out of the close also?
Yep, we have agreements with accountants and also with lawyers, because you need both to do this. And they will tend to want to charge, of course, up front. That's something you ought to be aware of. They will not be happy with their fees coming out dependent on the success of the deal. And it's nothing to do with us. This is paid directly from the person raising the funding directly to the lawyer.
Okay, so there's going to be fees for the lawyer that have to be paid up front, and the same thing with the accountant.
Yeah, that's right. That's just the way they operate. They're like banks. They don't take a risk. They're not interested in taking a risk on it being a success. They just want to do the work and to get their fees.
Right. Art Hamill, in the course we teach, he suggests that there's so many lawyers. There's more lawyers right now in law school than there are practicing right now. And I'm sure with a little bit of effort, you can pick up the phone and find some attorneys and accountants who would be willing to ride along with you as a contingency somewhat.
It could well be. In the UK, it tends to be a little bit more regimented than that. I think one of the advantages that the US has is that it has got a more entrepreneurial spirit, and people do recognize that as being a good thing. Whereas over here, everyone's so worried about failure and making mistakes that very often the entrepreneurial spirit does get lost at times.
Right. How does the UK business world look at the United States and view the United States? In a positive light or negative, or what's the feeling right now?
Very positive. I think the admiration is, as I say, for the entrepreneurial nature of it. And very often we get leading business people, well, I guess people you might have heard of, Richard Branson.
Sure.
And others, who will lecture us and say, you must stop crucifying people who fail with their first business, because that's all part of the learning curve. And in the States, there is the impression that people have been allowed to learn and to gain experience, and eventually they make a success. Where over here, as soon as you failed at anything, whether it's your fault or not, you are shunned almost. And that's something that's actually changing. There is a lot of effort going in to change that, to make it much more entrepreneurial, and to take risk and to gain experience from that.
Okay. So right there with company partners, it says you've got over 1,000 people looking for businesses just like ours.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, Lawrence, can you give me the characteristics of someone who would be most likely to succeed with your service?
Yep. Certainly over the year, what we have found is that there is a definite type of person that is successful at raising money. And that is someone who has put the thought and attention into the business plan, obviously has a good idea, but also most important of all is receptive to ideas. Because the people that don't succeed, and we get phone calls from them all the time, are those that will not listen. They will not take advice. They have an idea, and no one can tell them anything different. Those that are successful not only have the idea, but are willing to learn and to listen. And believe me, it is really refreshing when you get someone on the other end of the phone who actually doesn't argue with you. quite often you're trying to help someone, and instead of saying, great idea, thank you for helping me with that advice, they will argue with you as to why what you're telling them is wrong, and they never succeed.
I've heard that mirrored by Arthur Hamill, the business buying expert. He tells me this all the time in confidence, that the guy's bought over 200 businesses, and most of them over $5 million. And the students he works with, he says most of them, the first business they find, they fall in love with it, and they will not listen to his advice. And most people just aren't really willing to do the work.
Yes. It's a shame. That's often something to do with personality rather than business acumen.
Well, this has been a great interview. I think you got a great thing going.
Thank you. We've been working hard at it, and there's changes that we want to make all the time because it just never stops, I guess, as you find.
You learn
something new every day, and there just isn't enough time in that day to do all the changes that you would like to do.
It's never ending. Well, just persistence, and if you're willing to do the work, it looks like you'll come out on top.
Yes. Well, let's keep in touch, Michael.
I will. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
We've covered a lot of information in this interview with Lawrence and CompanyPartners.com. If you want more information or would like a personal introduction to Lawrence, you may visit their website at CompanyPartners.com. And if you have any questions about the people we interviewed, please contact Michael at HardToFindSeminars.com. That's Michael at HardToFindSeminars.com. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, HardToFindSeminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it.